The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only.
Avril Flynn, a midwife and educator, is asking the questions in this episode.
You are very welcome to this episode of the Beat Podcast with myself, Avril Flynn. I am absolutely delighted to be talking about it. Subject that's quite close to my heart, toddler nutrition. And we couldn't have a better expert today. We have Dr. Frankie Phillips, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist with a wealth of experience in nutrition writing, research, and working with nurseries. She brings both a practical and pragmatic approach to eating well for toddlers and, in fact, the whole family. So you're very welcome, Dr. Frankie.
Thank you very much, Avril. I'm delighted to be asked to do this podcast. It's really exciting and something that is really close to my heart, having four children. So not only the expertise of being a dietitian and nutritionist, but also from a practical point of view, bringing up four children, including two twins. And it's really exciting to be talking to you as well, because I know that you've got a toddler. So yeah, it's a lovely thing to be talking about today.
It's such an important topic, I think, because we've spoken in previous episodes about just the importance of diet, but laying the foundation with our little people, you know, leads them towards a healthy attitude to eating and life. But starting at the very beginning, why is it particularly important for toddlers to get that nutrition right?
Well, if you think of the size of your toddler or your small person at home, then we really need to think about how fast they grow. So in that first year, they grow tremendously quickly. And then during the next few years, they're continuing on that trajectory. They grow very quickly. They develop very quickly. Lots of things are changing. Their brains are developing. And that's really important to make sure that all of the nutrients that they have are feeding into that development, feeding into that brain growth, feeding into that muscle growth, for their bones to grow, for making all those nerve connections, for having the energy as well, because I think we both know that toddlers are very energetic at times and need to have lots of energy so that they can do all the things that toddlers do and some of the things sometimes we don't want them to do.
That's for sure. But what constitutes a healthy diet for toddlers? Because sometimes with the barrage of information, you know, even for healthcare professionals, it can be quite complicated to try and digest that yourself as a healthcare professional, but then to actually give that information to parents. So what actually constitutes what we would consider, what you would consider a healthy diet?
Okay, so when it comes to feeding your toddler, then as much variety as possible is my first tip. So making sure that your toddler's diet can be as varied as it can really. And also looking at enjoying food, because I think sometimes we get so wound up with thinking about how much food to eat, what type of food to eat. You know, are they going to be fussy? Are they going to be missing out key nutrients? But actually, I think we need to bring it all back to making sure that our children actually enjoy having a good diet and that they enjoy eating their food. Because I think not only it's not only the physical aspects of nutrition that we should be focused on sometimes, we also need to think about the emotional aspects. And having a good relationship with food from the off start, from when children are first starting to explore what they enjoy, what they dislike sometimes, having a good relationship with food really can stand them in good stead as they grow up. And that means that they'll be as healthy as possible going into adulthood and then passing on what they know to the next generation. So it starts at this early age, having a really good relationship with good food and being able to enjoy a good variety of foods within the family context.
And what are the major food groups that we are talking about?
Okay, so when we think about what actually getting down to the nitty-gritty a toddler needs to eat, then there's been lots of research that's looked at what works and what works well. There's some great resources that I've been involved in researching and communicating. And one of them is actually a quite a simple portion size guide, which looks at how many portions perhaps you should be looking at in terms of everyday starchy foods, first of all, because they give us energy, and then fruits and vegetables, because obviously lots of vitamins and minerals come from vegetables. We're all encouraged to have our five a day. And then to have some dairy foods, so some rich calcium foods are really good for that growth period in particular. And then the protein foods, so the things that are going to help with growth and development, with building body mass, and also helping with lots of the technical parts of the body that need to be developed. So all of those food groups, so the starchy foods, the fruits and vegetables, the dairy foods or dairy alternatives if you choose to have a plant-based diet, and the protein foods. Now, I think it's good as well to talk about numbers. So in terms of numbers of portions, then we roughly want people to aim for about 5 portions of starchy food a day. We all know the message of 5 a day about fruits and vegetables, and that's actually quite important for children to start on the journey of trying to incorporate those 5 portions a day. Obviously, they're going to be smaller portion sizes when you're a toddler than if you're a fully grown person. And also, we would really support the idea of having a couple of portions of dairy foods a day, so 2 or 3 portions of dairy. It doesn't have to be milk to drink. It can be cheese, it can be yogurt, and also having a couple of protein portions a day. Now, by protein portions, I mean other than dairy, because obviously we know that cheese and milk contain protein. But I'm thinking more of things like meats and chicken, fish, and also the plant-based protein alternatives. So things like corn or soya mince or pulses and beans, which are all great for providing protein. So really, if you think about it as an idea of having 5 starchy foods, 5 fruits and vegetables, 3 dairy or dairy alternatives, and 2 protein foods. But if you're vegetarian, maybe aim for your child to have 3 protein food portions a day. So that's quite a simple formula. And on top of that, we need to be aware, obviously, that children have enough fluid. Now, for children, it's great to have water to drink, but milk as a drink is fine as well. From the age of 2, they can drink semi-skimmed milk. And that can be cow's milk, or it can be a plant-based alternative. Now, I think I'd like to talk in more detail about plant-based eating, but let's just talk for the moment about those portion sizes. Because if you think about it, a child's stomach is quite small, and they can be filled up quite easily. So having roughly a fist size portion, I think, is a good way of looking at it. So think about your child's palm size, perhaps, when you want to know how much protein they should be having in a portion. Think about a smaller portion size than you would give yourself. Now, there's some really good resources out there for portion sizes, and I can send you onto those resources later on. But when you think about portion sizes, then be guided as well by your child's appetite, because I think we grew up in an era of you know, having from generation to generation being told to finish what's on your plate, you know, clear your plate. That's a great thing. Children being praised for clearing their plates. And I still hear it today from families and from schools as well. Finish what's on your plate, and then you can have your pudding. And I think that's a real worry as well, because children do tend to know their appetite at a young age. And if you give them an appropriate size portion, if they're still hungry, they can have more. But if children have a huge portion on their plate to start with, then that can really encourage overeating and having too large a portion. We need to finally balance it with what the child wants to eat, and also what is a healthy amount for them to consume as well.
And it is getting that balance right between encouraging good habits, but not embedding in a child either a negative attitude towards eating or the actual act itself of sitting down, and that it should be something that's enjoyed as opposed to feared or suffered through. And that can be quite difficult.
Yeah, it can be really difficult because if you're concerned that your child's not eating enough and you're concerned that they're not growing well enough, then that can be a real worry. I think that we've got health professionals on board who can really help with concerns about any failure to thrive, any growth issues. I think keeping a record of what children are eating over a week can be a good guide as well. So if parents are concerned, then sometimes it's good if they just have a general write down of what, or even keep a voice note, just to keep an idea of what's actually happening on a day-to-day basis. Because I think parents and carers can get really swept away with, if something doesn't go too well for a couple of days, then they might start thinking that they never eat well. And actually, most of the time, they probably are eating well. And then there's some days when they might not particularly want to have everything that they normally would eat. Some days when they want to eat more, because our appetites do vary. They do fluctuate from day to day. And I think parents being supported that actually it's okay if some days the child might not eat very much, and other days they might want to eat a bit more. So I think it's giving parents just the power to know that it's okay if their child doesn't eat the same amount every day. If some days they want to eat one Weetabix for breakfast, or one shredded wheat for breakfast, and other days they might want to eat three, they might want to eat a huge amount because they're really hungry. And I think that we need to make sure that parents are supported and do know that it's okay to vary appetite when you're a child, as long as growing is still happening. And I think that keeping an eye on growth over a period of weeks or months is a good way of showing that your child is growing and developing properly.
And I would definitely echo that. I mean, with my son Felix, who's three, he would have, I would consider, a very good diet, but I would look at it more over a week as opposed to daily, because he might have two or even 3 days a week that he isn't just particularly hungry, but the other 4 days he would be quite ravenous. And it took quite a while for me to get comfortable. And I spoke to a couple of pediatric friends, pediatric doctor friends, just to make sure that it's more to ensure a balance over a week, as opposed to looking at each day individually, because that's just his that's just what he's like.
Yeah, that happens. And I think that, being relaxed as well about the eating patterns that we all have is a really key thing to make sure that children don't feel pressured, and also that parents and carers don't feel pressured. That's a really important message. I think that it's good to enjoy eating together, because I think if parents and carers are sitting around the table with their children, they're able to show a good example. And we know that having a family eating together really helps children with that really key thing, which is fussy eating.
Yeah, that dreaded word. And talking about that, are there any nutrients in those different groups that we discussed that are more difficult to kind of get in the diet than others?
So when we're thinking about having a good balance of foods, then if our children are having some starchy foods, they're having their fruits and vegetables, they're having their dairy alternatives, and they're having all of their protein foods, then they should be getting a whole complement of all the nutrients that they need. We shouldn't really be worried too much about most of their nutrition. Having said that, there are a couple of key areas which we do get concerned about. One of those is vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is really important because it helps the body to absorb calcium. And it's really important, therefore, for things like bone development, and also for muscles and for teeth, for dental development. And increasingly, we're finding out that vitamin D is important not just for those structural aspects of health, but also for immune health as well. We're hearing lots about the role of vitamin D in immunity. And so it's vital that children and adults alike really are getting enough vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is quite an interesting nutrient because most of us get nearly all the vitamin D we need from the action of sunlight on our skin. But that happens not all year round in the UK, because we don't simply get enough of the stronger rays of sunshine during the winter months. So the advice is for everybody to consider taking a vitamin D supplement, and also to look at foods that are fortified with vitamin D so that they have enough. So, for example, for children, ways that you might include some fortified foods fortified with vitamin D in the diet are to have some of the fortified breakfast cereals. Just look on the nutrition panel, it will say if it's got any vitamin D added to it. There are some milks which are fortified with vitamin D. So some toddler milk, for example, is fortified with vitamin D. There are plant-based milk alternatives that sometimes have vitamin D as well. So looking at the label, making sure that you've got a couple of sources of fortified vitamin D in the diet is great. And also then looking at some of the natural sources of vitamin D. So, for example, oily fish is a great way of getting vitamin D, but sadly we tend not to eat too much oily fish, and one portion a week is actually what's recommended, and that's probably not going to give you all the vitamin D that you need. Also egg yolks has got vitamin D, and liver and red meat have got vitamin D in it, and also we're now starting to see that some mushrooms have got vitamin D in them. So all of those foods which are naturally containing vitamin D are great. But also, I think it's important to include some of the fortified foods which contain the vitamin D, like I said, the milk, the toddler milk and the plant-based milk, some of the breakfast cereals, and also some fat spreads. So if you use a margarine, have a look and see if it's got vitamin D added to it. But I think that overall, we need to encourage parents and young children to look to having a supplement of vitamin D during the months from October to March, because that's the real danger area. That's when we don't make the vitamin D on our skin. So I think that essentially taking a vitamin D supplement should be able to give everybody an adequate dose of vitamin D that they need, and especially in childhood, to make sure that they grow properly.
And you've mentioned plant-based diets are becoming much more prevalent in society. And as healthcare professionals, you know, it's incumbent on us to be aware of how to advise our clients or patients. So how, where could we go and with plant-based nutrition, what are the important elements for educating parents to ensure that their toddlers are getting that balanced diet?
So it's perfectly appropriate to have your toddler growing up on a plant-based diet, or even a vegetarian or vegan diet. They do grow. Vegan children, research shows, do tend to be smaller than their meat-eating counterparts, but they're still growing properly. And the British Dietetic Association does support vegan diets and plant-based diets for children as well as adults. But there are a few things that certainly for toddlers we need to be aware of with plant-based diets. And one of them is that it might be quite a bulky diet, because we've got more fibre foods in plant-based diets that tend to be higher in fibrous foods. So having, for example, some of those protein foods in a plant-based diet, so the beans and pulses, lentils, they are great foods to have, and they do supply protein and a range of vitamins and minerals, but they also are quite fibrous. So having decent sized portions of them is good, but we also need to make sure that there's enough of the energy dense foods. So things like having perhaps some more of the more oily foods in the diet. So so nuts are a great way of getting the protein and also getting the fat, the healthy fats in the diet for young children. One of my absolute favorites is having oat cakes with peanut butter on, which is a great way of having the fibre, but also having the healthy fats and having the protein and also vitamin E. So it's just looking for those opportunities to boost the energy so that the plant-based diet isn't just too bulky. And the other thing, as you mentioned, is about having enough calcium. Now, lots of people are switching to trying a plant-based dairy alternative, and some of them are really highly fortified with vitamins and minerals. So they might be fortified with calcium, vitamin B12, vitamin D, iodine, all of those nutrients, which actually can be quite difficult to come by on a more plant-based diet. So if you are choosing to raise your child or to be advising parents who have got a plant-based eating plan for their little one, I think making sure that whatever milk alternative they choose, they check out one that's fortified with at least calcium, but ideally with vitamin D, iodine and vitamin B12 as well. And not just the milks, but the yogurt alternatives. Because yogurt and milk are great ways of getting calcium and B vitamins in the diet. And if we are having a plant-based diet, which is excluding those. In fact, if you're excluding any food group from the diet, we need to think really carefully about where the key nutrients come from in alternatives.
And again, ensuring that balance. The thing about toddlers, though, you can have the best will in the world, and sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, you get particularly fussy toddlers, or behavior that isn't conducive to them enjoying eating. So what are a couple of tips that you would advise if you do have a child or children that are particularly challenging with regards getting in enough of the right foods?
Okay, so if you've got a fussy toddler, then it can be really difficult. Of my four children, then one of them has been fussy, the other three haven't, but one of them was, so I've been there, I know what it's like. I think that it's all about modeling, so it's all about providing a good example as a parent or a carer or even with other children, just giving that exposure to what is a healthy enjoyment of food. So sitting down together at meal times, making sure that toddlers can see parents, can see other people around the table enjoying food that they particularly might not like. It's natural for children, toddlers, to become a little bit fussy when they reach the sort of 2-year milestone. They do become a little bit more aware of their own choices, and that they can make those choices and make their demands known. That's absolutely normal. And also to become a little bit more wary of new foods. So neophobia, we know that the children can be a little bit wary of new things that they've not tried before. But I think by giving a good role model, by sitting them next to a child who either a member of the family or at nursery or at a friend's house, who really enjoys their food, who can give a good example, provide positive peer pressure, I guess, about how it's a good food to enjoy, then that can really help. But I think that the most important thing is just don't give up. Children do have an ability to really press all of our buttons and make us feel sometimes as parents like, you know, we're doing everything wrong, but really we are doing everything right for them. We're trying to make sure that everything is working well for them, and that they are giving that they're being given the really good stuff to help them to develop into healthier children, into healthy adults. And I think that just carrying on, making sure that children have those foods that they particularly might not like every day on their plate, just a tiny portion even, can really help. And sometimes we just need to be careful about how we word things. Instead of saying, you know, oh, I know you don't like broccoli, but just try this bit. Say, oh, I've got some broccoli today, let's just try some. Maybe perhaps saying, oh, I know you might want to have some peas today, but I've got some carrots out of the fridge. Is that okay? And I even helping them, getting them to help you to choose. So asking them, what would you like today? Would you like broccoli? Would you like carrots? Or would you like cauliflower? Giving a simple choice, which means that they feel like they're in control as well. Now, we know that sometimes it takes time and time and time again for children to accept foods. If they particularly, you know, don't fancy it today, then it becomes a little bit of a battleground for some parents, and it's a real worry. But I think my top tip is just keep going, make it relaxed, make sure it doesn't turn into a battle, and give a good example. And that's my best advice. If you are experiencing as a family, or if you've got families who are just really struggling with fussy eating, then be a good example, stay relaxed, and just keep offering those foods, and you'll get there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's great advice for healthcare professionals to relay to families. I know one of the things that I do that really, really helped us when we hit a few roadblocks was involving Felix in the preparation of the food. So that we would go to the shops and we would go to the greengrocer and we would look and touch and feel all the different fruits and vegetables. We'd pick out our favorite ones. We'd pick out the nicest shaped carrot or the nicest shaped parsnip and then actually help letting him help prepare the food. And he started actually, he's three now, he actually loves cooking. So, you know, that has really helped. And then the enjoyment that he gets out of, the same as we do, of preparing food and then eating it is I have found to be absolutely wonderful. One of the things, though, for a lot of healthcare professionals is where to get really good information in which they can relay to parents. So where can we signpost healthcare professionals to so that they can help clients and families in their care?
Yeah, I think there are some great resources out there. There are some great podcasts like this one. There are also lots of written resources. There are downloadable PDFs. There are our webinars to follow. I think there are lots of resources out there. So I'd just give a couple of ideas. You could always go to the British Nutrition Foundation. They have some great resources. They talk about the portion sizes that I was mentioning, how many portions of starchy foods and protein foods, dairy foods and fruit and veg. So they're at nutrition.org.uk. There's also the Caroline Walker Trust, which is cwt.org.uk. They get some great resources about feeding children, feeding 1 to 4 year olds. There's also the Infant and Toddler Forum, which has loads of fact sheets. That would be infantandtoddlerforum.org. So that's really great for fact sheets. There's also some brilliant resources on there that talk about portion sizes that have been written by dietitians. So if you are having to explain about what's appropriate portion sizes for different aged children, then that can be a great one. And then there's the Early Years Nutrition Partnership, which is eynpartnership.org. And there are some, again, downloadable fact sheets and blogs and useful information there. And of course, there's the NHS information as well. So the Healthy Start websites and Start for Life, which are really great information to pass on to parents.
And we'll include those in the show notes as well so that, and healthcare professionals listening, have no excuse but to realise that there are so many resources. And I suppose finishing up, Frankie, and thank you so much for all that information. It's been absolutely amazing. What would be the top thing that you would advise healthcare professionals to advise parents?
I definitely say advising parents to relax around mealtimes and enjoy eating together, because if we can't enjoy our food and we can't enjoy our mealtimes, then I think that's just not going to be a great start. So getting parents, getting carers and children to sit down and enjoy their food together, whether that's at the table, having a picnic, going out to a friend or a family's home, just making sure that food is an enjoyable experience for everybody.
I think that's wonderful advice, making family dinner time a really special time for everybody to enjoy good food. Thank you so much, Frankie. It has been an absolute, like I've taken down notes here myself, and thank you for signposting to all those brilliant resources. We're really, really delighted, and we hope that you've enjoyed the chat as well, to all the healthcare professionals listening. And again, Dr. Frankie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat Podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk.